Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
In a post-Trump era, what is the message for Democrats, for sane Republicans, however you want to frame them? What is the message and the kind of candidates that they're going to put in front of these people who are still so pissed off at everything because they think they've been got? What is the messaging that cuts through that? Because if John F. Kennedy reduxed in 2022 couldn't do it, what does?
Is it the DeSantis model? I very rarely disagree with you politically, but I think you are off the fucking wall on this.
I'm gonna
tell you why. You had a guy in Ohio, right, with no party apparatus, right, who was completely abandoned, right? Republicans nationally spent $65-70 million, right? And he got 20%+ of the Republican vote. And one of the most polarized cycles, when you have the top of the ticket, right, running, right, 25 points ahead, you've been the down ballot guy.
Right.
If the guy at the top collapses, loses by 25 points, you win by 5. I look at you and I'm like, that guy can play ball. Maybe that guy should have been on the top of the ticket.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, I think when you look at a race and you took all that he took, right? Sometimes, right, if you look at life as a journey, and right, I'll just say this, like 1858, Abraham Lincoln lost to the guy that he beat in 1860.
Yeah.
I like to think of it this way. Maybe Abraham Lincoln would have been a really shitty senator.
Right. Man, he was a good president.
Would have been. He probably would have been. But I'm agreeing with you in right. principle. I'm just saying, I mean, because I think Tim Ryan, I love that race.
I think people care greatly.
Not how they're voting.
No, this is the breakthrough I've had over the last 6 or 7 months. This is the place I've moved from.
Gotcha.
Right over the last year. Right. I would have given you a different answer at the end of the Lincoln Project. But here's the deal, right? The Trump industrial complex, right? You said it earlier, the media, it's an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs each other. I never understood truly what Eisenhower was talking about when he talked about the military industrial complex till I understood it truly through the eyes of the Trump industrial complex. You watched the Lincoln Project documentary, which was...
I was going to ask you about that. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, they're all the same people.
Yeah.
Right? They're the same people, right? There is no difference between them and the Trump people. So one of the things, right, I'm a charter member of the Never Give a Fucking Inch Club, right?
You wrote the bylaws.
Right. Of the never Trump movement. But I didn't fight Trump because I wanted a career. I had a career. I gave up my career to fight Trump. Right. I fought him because I believed he was a threat. I fought him as out of conviction. Right. What people want is better. But we have to be humble. Right. Where is the humility in the Democratic Party? Right. That has been introspective. So we're losing to who?
Right.
Right. So what is it that people see that makes them say, I want that as opposed to this?
Right.
You try to have that conversation, you'll be shouted down by a lot of angry, smug, intolerant people, right? What's the argument here, right? That there's not intolerance and closed-mindedness on the left, right? That Trump is not fueled, right, by his opposition? If we only have two parties and we look at a party, we say, holy shit, guy who cited an insurrection, killed 1 million people.
Right.
Right. Well, maybe it's because the people who, like, a million people got killed, right, by the opioid epidemic. Right. Maybe we should have some empathy for those people when the government came back around in the next decade and said, you got to take this vaccine. Why they don't have trust, why they don't have faith. $400. $400. Right. That's a midpoint bottle of wine on a lot of menus in a Washington DC restaurant. That's the average savings of 40% of the population. Right? One of the fastest growth industries in the financial sector is unbanked. Right? Yeah. People that can't get a passbook savings industry. Right. So when you look at the news, right, you look at the amount of coverage that Elon Musk gets, the amount of national attention in the pages. Twitter's not a country. It's not a geography. It doesn't have land. It's not real. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, what do you do with the problem like Elon?
Are affected by this. So there's a total detachment in the conversation of what people think are important.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Retaliation with Julie Roginski is a weekly podcast focused on the stories of women who have spoken truth to power and have persevered despite the costs. It shares the experiences of courageous people who have sometimes been celebrated, but too often castigated for standing up for themselves and for others. Each week, I examine the structures, systems, and culprits responsible for perpetuating and promoting workplace toxicity. You'll hear stories from female celebrities, music label executives, politicians, police officers, and many others as we examine the cultural reevaluations, policy changes, and legal steps that can finally bring an end to the ongoing attack on women in this country and around the world. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.